Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Blind Information Technology Specialist Sunday afternoon presentation. This is going to be dealing with Microsoft's Narrator. Everybody got computers here?
Yeah.
Anybody got Windows 10 here?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Everybody want to know more about how to run it?
Yeah, why not?
Hey, with that in mind, we're going to be dealing with that today, but before we get started, I want to find the extra microphone.
Oh, it's here, I got it for you. It's on the...
Okay, Renee, let's see if we can turn it on and have Renee run around and let's find out who's all here. So when Renee or whoever taps you on the shoulder, just say your name and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Jessica from Microsoft.
Speak up right into that microphone.
My name is Cheryl Snow, and I am a vision rehab teacher in Oklahoma.
Okay. There you go.
That works.
My name is Mike Anderson, and I'm from Hawaii.
My name is Monty Anderson Mitahara, and I'm also from Hawaii.
Jane Monk, Bloomington, Minnesota. Yeah.
Jill Noble,
Cleveland, Ohio.
Paul Henriksen, Clovis, California, new BITS member.
All right.
Jeff Bishop, BITS member and ACB board member.
John McCann, past president of BITS.
Monty from Bakersfield, California.
Yeah. Raj Anahita from Walnut Creek, California.
Catherine Johnson, Fort Collins, Colorado, BITS member.
And that concludes.
Oh, you got one more up here. Don't forget Richard.
I was forgotten last night too. So.
There you go, Richard. Well, I thought you introduced yourself.
Richard Villa, good speaker.
He will take your money anytime.
Forgot somebody else.
Okay.
Do we have a new arrival?
I do to your right.
Okay.
Rob Turner, Sunnyvale, California.
There you go.
That's the one that's locked in the back there.
Venkatesh
Chari.
I guess that's it.
Okay. So, without further ado, we are going to have Mr. Brett Humphrey come and talk to us about Microsoft, Windows 10, Narrator, Creative Edition, all that kind of good stuff. Mr. Humphrey, take it away, dude.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you. A couple things. A nice shout out to my neighbors from both Colorado and Minnesota. I actually grew up in South Dakota, and I actually lived in Denver, Colorado for about 3 years. So love that part of the world. And if you're wondering, I live in Seattle now. So I'm going to talk through a few things. So a couple things up front. I like casual conversations, so as we go along, feel free to ask questions. I may pause and answer them later because I want to make sure that I can walk through some of the demo. But I'm really going to kind of start with a little bit of a look back, where we're at, and kind of I'm going to span a bit of a Win 10 story arc because we've been kind of on a journey as we work on Windows 10 and get feedback. And so I want to talk a little bit about what we started with and where we are. Because in just chatting with some folks today, a bunch of folks are like, I haven't tried Win 10 yet. I don't know if I want to do it. Do I care about Narrator? Do I want to care? And so I just want to kind of tell you about that journey because we're going to still be on it for a couple more years, if not longer, for sure. So I just want to kind of bring you along that journey. Maybe.
I may have you lean forward.
Is that a little better? kind of leaning in and kind of trying to look at my laptop at the same time, so entertaining.
Oh, cool.
So part of it, you know, just Microsoft's general trend right now is how do we go from, you know, people needing to wanting to kind of loving the products at Microsoft. And so we're kind of on that initial step of how do we get people so that, hey, we know there's need for it, but how do we continue to kind of help make Narrator something you can sit down and use and rely on? And so as we kind of look at that journey, you know, we've got a lot of feedback on what it means to use things daily, and that's really kind of our long-term goal. So we have just some quotes from users that have been kind of fun to watch, and most of these were around October, November of last year. And they said, hey, look, we've got some quotes that are, hey, you know, Windows is finally getting serious. We'd really appreciate it if you used Braille. Like, oh, okay. And hey, for some of those who've wanted to use Narrator and Edge, you can. And a lot of folks didn't realize that Edge has worked with Narrator since we shipped. And yes, so comment from the audience was that they didn't know it.
And then
there's a good quote about, hey, it's not, you know, it's not a pretty swan, but you know, Narrator's deserves to be on the duck pond with everybody else. So we've had some good quotes from folks and some really good feedback. And across the company, when you look at where Microsoft is at with accessibility in general, it's a large number of people. So I get the opportunity to really show off several hundred people's worth of work today just in a couple of demos. And there's people across the company continuing to work on accessibility through all of our products. But I'm specifically today going to focus on a few things around Mail and Edge and a few features that we've put in more recently. But for those that you didn't know, in our most recent update on the store, Eric, we got a lot of great feedback on, I wish I could actually set up my own machine with Narrator. It's just straight off a USB key. Our latest release, Narrator will start, and you can use it through all of setup. If you just put in a little USB audio device, we'll find it, and we'll let you set up your machine straight out of the box. So it's something that hasn't been there before.
Is that new?
New of the most recent release.
The Creator's Update.
Also in the Creator's Update, we introduced the Braille Beta. And so we basically used Braille TTY. And we allow you to download and install and use Braille. And in the most recent update that's coming out here in a couple of months, there's some key pieces missing, and that's why it was called Beta. You couldn't do things like Alt-Tab, and you couldn't manage the Windows key. And so we've really enabled that now that you can do basically your Alt-Tab in between things, run the Start menu, do those things that are really core to Windows. So we believe we're at a point where we're closer to now where you can use your Braille device for all of the interaction. So still would love the feedback. More feedback to come there, of course. And I don't think we'll quite be done with Beta this release, but we're certainly continuing on that track.
Progress is good.
So. True statement, progress is good. And one of the other things that I was at our showroom floor a little bit ago, and there's this common question about, well, how are third parties working with Edge? And we spent a lot of investments in the last 8 months, 12 months, working with JAWS and NVDA and other ATs specifically to optimize the performance. And so NVDA announced in their next release that they will have Edge support.
Yes.
And JAWS is also continuing to work on their support as well. And a lot of folks, you know, ask like, hey, you know, how does Microsoft feel about third parties and you guys are building Narrator and like how do you view that? And I just want to be very clear, we view it as an important partnership. Like we believe that choice is what really helped build Windows, and we think it's important that those who come to the platform still have that choice. And so we don't want to limit that. So as the technology changes, we have to work with them to continue to help change that and make that available to them. So we've been continuing to work on that as well. And we've got quite a few nice tweets from folks. Someone said, hey, look, I didn't even realize Narrator supported Braille. They're like, yes, and what version? And so some great feedback on Braille. Another gentleman who's low vision didn't realize how much Narrator could actually do for them. And he says he does a large amount of work for his tech job. So we keep seeing good press, but we still know there's a long way to go and that they've been super super kind of getting the feedback. So what I'm really going to do is just kind of walk through a demo with you.
Starting narrate. Slide 9. Narrator demo. Cortana. Search box. Editing. Scanned off. Editing. Item described by type here to search.
Okay, a couple of things. Speed okay? Volume okay? Okay, great.
Bring the volume up just a tad.
Sure.
Tooltip. Nugget underscore guest. Oops. Network connections. Nugget underscore guest connected. Open signal 4 out of 4 bars. 1 of 5. Selected.
Okay. All right.
Start. Button. Task view. Button. Microsoft Edge. Start. Microphone. Button. Scan. Search box. Off. All apps. Recently added. Groove.
So I'm going to talk through, I kind of gave a demo last year about this time, and one of the key areas that we were asked early on was, hey, look, I would like you to be more performant. We would like your voices to be faster. So keep in mind, I have it set at about 55% right now. I'm going to run that all the way up. Oops, wrong button.
July 12th, 2017 ACB conference. Command not available. Speed increased to 60%. Speed 5%.
That'll work. Perfect. Everybody can understand that.
Awesome. Yeah.
Perfect. Link.
So a couple of things there. I was arrowing as fast as I could in the start menu.
Wow.
And and our goal was to really keep it up because it was very clear feedback. Like, I want instant response. Perfect. So we've been working on that. Is it there all the time yet? No. But are we on a path there? Absolutely. And so these are the built-in voices that come with Windows. There's 3 or 4 choices right away, but they all have very similar speech rates to them. And so our goal really was to work. So we worked with the speech team, and we said, look, our goal was to make them as fast as we can so that we don't limit your capability on the system. So it's really important for us to do that. And if you, a bunch of us come to us and say, it's still not fast enough yet, then okay, we'll go work on making them faster. So
you're doing good.
So that's kind of our goal.
Speed decreased to 55%.
So what I'm going to do is kind of search for mail.
Hey. Caps lock plus down arrow to change the suggestions view. Mail. Trusted Windows Store app. 1 of 10. Selected.
So what you notice is that when I started typing in the Cortana search, first of all, we get asked all the time, where do you start? One of our goals is to say, oh, you always start at the start menu. So if you press the start button, you'll get Cortana search, and then as you start to type, what commonly occurs is that visually there's a bunch of options for you, a bunch of selections start to show up. So I just pressed M, mail was the first thing, and it said, hey, look, it's selected, and it's 1 of N, and so I'm just going to arrow down a couple.
Find results in apps, 2 of 10, Microsoft Edge, Microsoft Recommended Browser, 3 of 10, Microsoft Solid Air Collection, Trusted Windows Store App, 4 of 10, selected.
So you can see right away, if you arrow up and down, you can know the number of items, so you can continue to narrow your search if you want. I'm just going to go back up to mail.
Microfinder, mail, trusted Windows Store app, message list, unread Brett Humphrey, check out the new stuff, 10:45 a.m. Hey Brett, check out the new Surface laptop. Thanks, Brett sent.
So I like to send myself mail.
It's
what I do. But what I'm going to do is just hop, I'm going to go ahead and open this mail.
Brett Humphrey, reading paint, message.
And I just open it by pressing enter. We take the focus over there with you.
Scan.
I'm going to turn on what's called scan mode. And you do this by pressing cap space. And the goal of this was to be able to allow you to use the up and down arrow keys to get through text. And so in the new version, we're going to go paragraph by paragraph for you. And so it allows you just to kind of browse through everything.
Empty paragraph. Hey, Brett. Empty paragraph. Check out the new Surface link. Laptop. Empty paragraph. Thanks. Empty paragraph. Thanks, Brett.
So I'm going to go back up to the link.
Empty paragraph. Check out the new Surface link. Laptop.
And one of the things that most people don't know is that visually on the screen, we put a little bounding rect around things. And we've improved it to where it's word level accurate right now. And that becomes very important because if you want to stop and you want to restart, we want to know that you were right on the words. So for those of you that have kind of used Narrator in the past, you might have noticed there's this like plus or minus 5 words. You're not quite sure where you landed and why and what's going on. It's because we weren't quite to the word level accuracy yet. And so that word level accuracy also follows into magnification. So for those of you that are low vision, there's 2 new things in the upcoming release here in a couple of months. One is that we've built in better font smoothing, so it's been a long time request. It's not the super sharp. We are using shaders for it, but it's much more easy to read at higher magnification. But now that Narrator does word level accuracy, magnifier when zoomed in will now follow narrator word by word, so you can kind of continue to watch things if you want to watch and read at the same time. And then even for cognitive purposes, for those who are low vision, it's also sometimes nice to hear the word read and see it highlighted, so it also helps you learn and read better as well. So kind of both of those things. Yep, yeah, very, very good for dyslexia as well. So I'm just gonna hop over to the Surface site for a second.
Running programs, current app, running programs, running applications, store 4 of 9, task switching, by Surface laptop, performance made per Microsoft Edge, search, or enter web address, editing https://.
Okay, so what we've done is that we've made some things work universally, so landmarks work pretty universally, and so I'm just gonna press D to get to a main landmark.
Caps lock plus down arrow to change to https://caps lock plus down arrow to change to suggestions view.
So again, sorry, I was in the edit field. So as soon as you start to do something, the auto suggest opened.
HTTP caps lock plus down arrow by Surface laptop. Performance made personal. Scan. Off. Settings and more. Button navigation landmark. Group. Main landmark. By Surface laptop. Performance made personal. Section.
So what I'm doing is I'm just pressing D. So every time you've heard it say, hey, a new landmark section, hey, group main landmark, what we've done is in the Edge browser, the entire content pane in Edge is now a landmark all up. So it's always easy for you to just jump to the main content, and it can start working from there. I'm just going to press H to jump to the first header.
Heading level 1, introducing Surface Laptop.
And I'm just going to use the down arrow key.
Heading level 1, introducing Surface Laptop. Heading level 2, performance made personal. Image, burgundy color swatch, image, platinum color swatch, image, cobalt blue color swatch, image, graphite gold color swatch, configure. Heading level 2, yours, truly. Surface laptop complements your personal style with a choice of 4 rich tone-on-tone color combinations, 1 in a luxurious Alcantara registered trademark material covered keyboard. Yours is waiting.
So I'm just going to go through that speed up just for a second so you can hear how that works now, even at speed.
Speed increase, speed 100%.
So one of the things we've also worked on quite a bit is there was this kind of pause about every 10 words, and so we've really spent a lot of time trying to make that smooth at all speeds. So as you go through text, whether it's email or the web, again, our goal is to not really limit you. So again, if we're not fast enough, we're not smooth enough, we want to keep getting that feedback, because it really has been your feedback that's really helped not just push us, but the Edge team, the TTS team, and they've all done a great job and really working together. So I'll always keep the feedback coming. So I'm going to jump over to the Microsoft Store for a second. And I'll slow that back down.
Speed decreased to 5%. Speed decreased to 70%. Speed decreased to 6%. Speed decreased to 55%.
All right, and so one of the things that's you might have noticed when I'm pressing cap space, you're going to hear things like scan on and off.
Off. Scan. Off. Scan.
So what I'm doing is just pressing cap space. And one of the things that we've also been working on in this release is that people are like, hey, I like when I'm in Word or an email or on the web, I can just press kind of caps M and have everything be read through. But that doesn't work everywhere yet. And so what we've been kind of unifying a bit is the ability to kind of read anywhere. So it's now kind of become caps R. So what I'm going to do is just press caps R from here. Let me jump to...
Today's deals, custom landmark, show all today's deals, link, Gears of War 4 average rating of 4.4 out of 5 stars. Price original price, $59.99 discounted price, $29.99. Plus offers in-app purchases, button, Halo Wars 2, Ultimate Edition average rating of 3.6 out of 5 stars.
So if I just do in caps R, it'll just keep reading down everything for you. And so what we're working on over this story arc, and that's why I want to take you back to kind of early Windows 10, the Creators Update, and now this upcoming edition, is that we believe there's value in making everything unified. We don't want you to have to think about, oh, am I on a web page? Am I in this type of app? Am I that type of app? Like, why would you have to think about that? Because people who are sighted don't. And so our goal is to allow you to look through any of our newer inbox apps and do the same thing. Now, you might have noticed you heard it say landmark. Guess what? We've taken that concept of landmarks, not just from the web, but apply them to the app so you can have a faster navigation model. And again, this up-down arrow key will work.
Roblox app, Resident Evil 7.
And so I'm just going to press the down arrow key about 3 or 4 times so you kind of hear it go through things.
Hidden City Ridge, Fallout Shelter app, Dead Rising 4 Deluxe, Record average rating, Rise of the Tomb Raider app, Quantum Break average, favorite apps and games, custom landmark.
So now again, you don't have to worry about the layout. One of the things that's very interesting about a number of the new layouts is they do some great visual stuff where you might have a nice big tile that's a 4x4 set next to a couple of 2x2 tiles set next to some 1x1 tiles. And the left, right, up, and down arrow keys don't always get you through everything, so it becomes very confusing. So now I can just use the up, down arrow key. You can get through everything in the app. You can kind of peruse everything. As you hear landmarks, you can jump around and find landmarks. So our goal is to really, again, unify. So if I go learn the web, guess what? I learned how to use the apps inside Windows. So we're really trying to make that learning curve much, much lower. Now, what's nice about that is that oftentimes people don't realize that there is actually a narrator on the Xbox. And what we've done in the upcoming release for the Xbox is that when you turn on narrator, you can just double tap the big Xbox button and you hear it say narrator mode. And the up-down controller D-pad will act just like the up-down arrow key in Windows. And so this store app is 90% the same app that's in the Xbox. Guess what? You can go to the store, double tap it, hear it say narrator mode, use the up-down arrow key, have that kind of expected, that same expected behavior of being able to get through everything and hear landmarks.
So, minds in the store.
What's that?
Blow some minds in the store.
Yeah, that's right. And so today, I'm going to tell you a little side story of my life. I have really low vision, so I have this giant 65-inch TV, and it gave up the ghost about 2 weeks ago. No, it was great, because what I do, I pretty much listen to groove music through my radio with my Xbox. And so my friends came over, like, how are we going to pick it? I go, oh, I got you covered. And so I'm just, like, flipping through my stuff, listening to it, selecting music. And they're like, how'd you do that? I go, because I had the speed turned up. They're like, I think it's talking to me. I'm like, yep, it is. So the last 2 weeks, I've really been doing that. And in the latest release, Amazon has also done work on the Xbox app. So if narrator's on, it will self-voice. So I've basically been using Groove Music, Amazon, and the movies and TV app that ships with Xbox. So you're able to really kind of translate that. And again, one of the things that Microsoft is working on, because we build this, what we call the universal app platform. If I build this app on my PC and it goes to the Xbox, it's that same underlying infrastructure that will work. And so our goal is to continue to leverage what we learned on the PC to the Xbox and back.
One thing they
running programs.
Sorry, go ahead.
Scan.
Sorry, go ahead.
The one thing on Groove Music, though, they took out some of the functionality that was really cool with Windows Media Player.
Such as?
Well, like you can't do just a easy play or stop type thing with.
Oh yeah. No keyboard shortcut.
Oh, but they're back. That's a great point. So to the point about feedback. Guess what everybody wanted? Control P to pause.
Yep.
Guess what it does? Control P to play and pause. So it is there now. So to the point about feedback.
Like, I haven't tried that recently, but at first it didn't.
Oh, you're right, it didn't. And it wasn't just folks who had vision impairments. Like, everybody expected, like, why is Control P not working?
Yeah, it's like a natural thing. It's always...
Yes. So again, when we talk about the feedback channel, like, we do take that very seriously. And so most of the things that I'm going through today around speed and around performance and around reading are because folks sit down and talk to us about it. Like, great, we can go do that. You're not going to get everything you want from us, but we will sequence it.
Is it not going to fall get here pretty quick so I can do...
running, reading...
I'll get to that in a second. So the question was, when is fall getting here so I can get the update? So I'm going to demonstrate one other thing that I think is interesting.
Addressing to editing. Scanned off. Editing.
So you notice I went to the two line. It told me, hey, I'm in the two line, and I'm editing, and so...
P1 of 1. Caps lock plus down arrow to change to suggestions view. bscott@microsoft.com. bscott. Brett Humphrey. Brett@outlook.com. 1 of 4. Level 1.
So you notice, again, I just pressed B, you heard it tell me what's selected, you heard it say the number of things. So I think this is important because if you work at some place like Microsoft, you press B and you're like, 800 people. Like, whoops, probably not what I'm going to do. B-R-E-T-T. Okay, now I'm down to 4 things or 10 things. Now you know to arrow up and down and you can make your selection much more quickly. So, again, what you see us doing is allowing, is working on how do we make these things consistent across all our apps and for developers.
Choose contacts, CCVCC, subject, editing, scan message, editing, scan off, editing, misspelled, this.
So what you also notice is that we said misspelled as I was typing.
Misspelled, hello.
And one of the things that's been around for a long time visually is that as you type, you'll get these little red squigglies. And we've been working on what does it mean to optimize what your workflow is. And so one of these things that's great for me is that I like to edit as I go. And so as I type, if I hear it's misspelled, I will understand the context. Versus having to come back maybe a half hour later or a bit later, press F7, hear the misspelled word, try to listen to the context. You can kind of listen to it as you go and work as you go. But that also works well because if I type, you know, good words.
I-R-U. Misspelled H-H-H-H.
Yep.
Space. Misspelled H-H-H. Moved. Misspelled this. Misspelled hello. Hi all. Who are you? Misspelled H-H-H-H.
So it'll also tell you misspelled as you go. And you can turn those things on and off, and you can turn them up and down through verbosity. But by default, we're going to tell you about misspellings. We're going to tell you about misspellings as you read through because we think it's important to have those in context, and we'll edit them in context. Now, side note on this inbox mail. This is the same thing as the word canvas. So we spend a lot of time working with the office team. We're like, hey, you know, it'd be great as if these things could all sound the same. So we spent some time like, what does it mean to do not only this for misspellings, but that same mechanism. We can tell you about, hey, look, Jeff just showed up and locked a region in my Word document, so it goes read-only. You'll know that, and so you can know when people come and go from a document. You can know when you get to comments. You know, we can get to track changes and those sorts of things. So we spent some time really working on those things that are pretty common in documents, especially comments. You want to be able to read through and go, oh, look, comment. Let me jump over to it. Let me jump back. So we're spending quite a bit of time with Office and optimizing it. And one of the things that I didn't bring as a demo today, but just as an example for you to think about, also in this upcoming release with Excel, we spent a lot of time figuring out, well, how do you do a multi-select in Excel? So you might be selecting one thing or 12 things or 18, or depending on where you move in there, what's the first and last thing? What's the thing that's selected? And so we now have multi-selection working pretty well with Excel and Narrator. So you get to the point where you can kind of start doing things in Excel, because if you can't do selection, you really can't start to use Excel. So you'll kind of see those things continuing to evolve as we go forward.
Running program, running app, task switching. The Task Manager's 2017 ACB Conference Program.pdf. Microsoft Edge 7 of 9. Command not available.
Oops.
Microsoft Edge, off. See all tabs you've set aside, button. 2017, Sparks.
So one of the things that we often get asked,
showing all pages.
Hey. Yeah, what does it mean when... what are we doing at Microsoft as well? For PDFs, this is just straight from your website.
Shop. App. Org American Printing House for the Blind, Inc. Empowerment. Microsoft's mission is to empower every person in every organization on the planet to achieve more. ERA is now available to all ACB members. The American Council of the Blind would like to sincerely thank for their support of the 2017
I appreciate that Google actually didn't have something named.
Copyright 2015, all rights reserved.
So, anyway, that was the Google I had on the page. But even our PDF reader, if you do an accessible PDF, we'll read it. We'll do line by line, paragraph by paragraph for you. So, again, we're trying to take that same reading concept that's in Edge, that same thing you'd use for your mail, and also bring it to PDF. And then the final thing I really kind of want to show.
Running tasks with Task Manager 7 of IMG Photos, IMG underscore 2003.jpg, image, scanned off.
So that's not very useful, right?
Not usually.
So one
IMG underscore 2003.jpg, IMG underscore 2000.
Uh-huh. So one of the things that we've been working on is working with the folks in our AI and services group, and done a great job of doing some image recognition. So these literally are pictures I took last night, or yesterday and the day before. I just snapped a couple pictures, culled them down to a few just so you can kind of hear what's going on.
Touching image caption. A view of a city.
So it's true, it's a view of a city. I was at a place having dinner with some friends in Bellevue last night. So why is it not switching for me? How?
IMG underscore 2004.jpg.
Also not useful.
Fetching image caption. A group of people sitting in a restaurant.
Wow.
True statement.
Wow. What
IMG underscore.
That's really cool.
Facebook doesn't even do that.
Okay, one more. Hang on, I'll tell you in a second. Hang on.
Fetching image caption. A storefront at night. Image text. Public.
Is that AI doing that, or did you have to put those captions in?
This is AI. So I'm doing CapShift-D, and what we're doing is we're grabbing the image, we're sending it to our AI services, and we're sending it back. And I'm surprised, because I've gotten two different answers for this one. I'm going to try it one more time.
Touching image caption. A storefront at night. Image text. Public.
Oh, hang on. Let me do one more thing.
Image.
No, yeah. Hang on. I'm going to try it one more time.
Touching image caption. A screenshot of a city street.
Ah.
Image text. Public market asterisk.
There you go. So it's actually a picture of Pike's Market, so it says Public Market, and And so it'll just, it tells you what's going on.
I'm going to do one. Image.
I'll do one more for you.
IMG_2007.jpg.
And this is one just I took in my building. Hang on. Ugh.
Fetching image caption. Image may contain screenshot, image text, access to parking garage.
Whoa. Okay, that's impressive.
That is impressive.
IMG_2013.
And this is a building just outside where I live.
Fetching image caption. A brick building with graffiti on the side of the street.
Whoa.
Yep.
Now I have to read that graffiti.
Well, in this case, there were no bad words on it. It's actually a painting on the side of a building. But the fact is, you know, as people submit pictures and as the AI group continues to advance this, it'll help you. So if you're on the web and you're like, I don't know what this thing is, you can go ahead and just do.
That was real-time response, though?
That was real-time response. It's gone to the web and come back.
That is fair.
So what I'm going to do, I'll do it again. If you listen very closely, it'll say fetching data, I think. Hang on one more time.
Fetching image caption. A large body of water with a city in the background.
So that's actually the view from where I live in downtown Seattle. So it's a picture of the sound and the skyline. So So what we're doing is we're taking the image, we're sending it up to a service, it analyzes it and brings it back.
That's pretty quick. I mean, considering it has to do all that. That's,
yep.
Wow.
Yep. So that's one of the things where, you know, when we look at where Microsoft is at, we're looking at, hey, look, we're working on this universal app platform. How do we take it? So it goes to the Xbox and then future platforms as we're there. We're looking at how do we, you know, the things that Microsoft is really, you know, evolving and continuing to be great at, which is how do we integrate things like our image recognition. For those that don't know, there was an image recognition competition a few months back, and Microsoft took first place out of all three categories against everybody by a pretty fair margin. And so they're continuing to work on it. I listened to a researcher start talking about all the details, and then my eyes glazed over. But it was super fantastic, and those guys are great. So I just kind of want to tell you, like, kind of give you a hint of where we're going and how we're trying to really integrate this to make it easier for you. Now, it is pretty fun. I recommend going to, like, a Wonderwall or wherever you have a bunch of celebrities. It'll actually tell you who the celebrities are.
What?
Wow.
And so we actually did a demo, and I don't have the picture here. I would demo it live for you.
Wow.
But it said, like, Terry Myerson, who's our VP at Windows, says, Terry Myerson posing for a picture. And we put a meme over the top of it that says, I don't use screeners often, but when I do, it's narrator. And it said, Terry Myerson, meme says, and it lays out the text for you.
What?
So the capability to do that has been really great. So.
Does it have to have
a running proof?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, for the face recognition, does it have to know, have a pre-program of who that person is? In real time before it tells you, or sometime beforehand.
I suspect what they're doing is
labeled.
I suspect what they've been doing is just like trolling the web and finding high resolution images. Like I didn't know that it knew Terry Myerson.
Yeah, that's a good.
And we just tried it. We're just sitting at work. We're like, well, let's try it and see what happens. And we took a picture. It was like four celebrities standing there. And the only caption was one person named in it, and it came back and named all four people accurate. It said, and they're all posing for a picture.
Wow.
So, however they've done their magic, they've done a really good job, and I'm certain they will continue to improve it. But it does a pretty impressive job. And sometimes, like, for example, where it said a bunch of people having dinner or whatever it was, like, it doesn't know any of my friends' faces.
Right.
So it's just like, yeah, a bunch of people hanging out having dinner.
But that's still better than, like, what Facebook tries to do. I mean,
how did you get your own pictures up there?
Oh, these were just taken off my phone.
And you just used...
I just loaded the picture app in Windows, and I'm just hitting Cap Shift D. So, like, if you get
it. Is it available now, or there will only be in the update?
It'll be an update. It is available now. Wait for it. If you get the insiders.
Aha.
So, if you're on the insider build, gotcha. You can go play with this today, but it's Cap Shift D.
Okay.
So, something we're continuing. What's that?
Only Android or iPhone?
This is narrator only right now, so. But when you talk about. Let me answer it a different way. If those platforms or apps wish to use the service on the back end for Microsoft, they could do that. This is just something we built in a narrator because we felt it was value for these type of situations.
Running test July 12th. Exiting narrator.
So at this point, I would love to do some Q&A a little bit, and I can kind of finish out the presentation. But I want to make sure while I'm here and I have kind of narrator up and some things available. Are there kind of questions or comments or just even initial feedback or thoughts?
I have an idea.
What is that scan thing?
Grant?
It would say
scan. Hold on, let me have the mic.
What is that for?
Okay. I'll bring the mic.
Great question.
Hold on, I'm coming around with the mic. Oh, what a question.
call Richard.
Oh, she just pointed at me. What is that scan, when you would do something, it would say scanning. It sounded like, does that have to do with reading an email message or what?
It's a great, great question. So one of the features we've been working on in Narrator is scan mode. And scan mode is our version, like, if it'd be similar to like a JAWS browse mode, where it really just allows you to use the up-down arrow key. So again, if I'm in the store, I had scan mode on, I'd use the up-down arrow key, and I could just kind of go through all the content in linear order, regardless of kind of the screen layout. And that same thing works in the web. One of the things that, it'll work in the web, it'll work in email. So it works really in any app. And so all you're hearing me do is toggle cap space on and off, depending on whether I want to use quick keys like H for header, D for landmark and so forth, I for image. So very similar. So our goal really is that if you use Narrator, there's two things to think about. That's it. I'm either using the keyboard, and that would be when scan mode is off. It just does whatever the app does. And if you want to be able to kind of use Narrator to look around or just get through content linearly, let's say you pick up a new weather app shows up, and you want to go, wow, what's here? You can hit cap space and just arrow down or arrow up through the entire app. So really, our concept is keyboard or Narrator kind of helping you navigate. And that's it, because we want to make it as simple as possible for you to start and use Interact. So that's what scan is. So when you hear scan on, arrow up and down, spacebar. That's what should get you through everything.
Who had a question? So,
yeah, go ahead.
Over here.
Oh, we got Robin back, and then I think to you.
Oh, sure. Oh, thank you. I was just curious about the on these new Surface laptops and so forth. Does Narrator respond at this point to any kind of touch gestures?
Why? I love that question.
That's a good one.
The answer is yes.
Starting Narrator by Surface laptop. Performance made personal. Yours truly, yours, luxurious.
So what you're hearing me do is just move my finger around. Actually, this is a Carbon X1 from Lenovo. It's also a certified device from Microsoft. So if as I put my finger down.
Yours, truly triple tap to activate. Surface laptop complements your personal style with a choice of four rich tone on tone color combinations.
So it's just up, down to switch modes, left, right. But by default, we'll just kind of go through every item, just like arrow up and down and scan modes on. So we'll continue to see improvements in that over time. But really right now, we'll spend time focusing on keyboard and Narrator's responsiveness. And then we'll continue to update touch as we go forward. But touch is something we've actually supported since Windows 8. How's that for scary?
Well, what I can imagine now in the future, on the Windows phones, is going into the store using the AI feature and looking at the shelves and finding things you want.
That's an interesting point. You're just saying like going to a grocery store or something like that,
yeah.
And taking pictures. Yeah, that's really good. It's good feedback.
I have a question on the low vision side.
Yeah.
All right. On my iPad right now, and not that I'm not going to be dedicated to Apple, but on there,
yeah.
I have something called MagLite, and it's like a camera that will enlarge print. You can use it like a closed circuit TV, basically. You can write underneath it. Will Microsoft have something like that on their Surface Pro, or is it going to be built into the Narrator?
So that's a great question. So a couple of things. For those that don't know, we did a partnership with KNFB Reader, so that's actually a store app that you can download and do work. We also have, just from a magnification on the mobile platform, I can't remember what it's called now. I have to go look it up. It might be called something as simple as a pocket magnifier, I think was the name of it. It also would do enlargement, but it didn't do the OCR yet, so we're still working on those apps as we go forward. Other questions, comments, thoughts?
I'd be happy to show you mine, just in case.
Yeah. So how have you felt about what you've heard so far?
Impressive.
Amazing.
Wow.
Renee?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
So everybody's going to download Windows and
update. Exiting Narrator.
Okay, you mentioned having to have USB drives or some such on there. Oh, I guess that you would have an audio program on it. Where I'm going with this is, I think that they may be approaching when I have to get a new computer, and of course that's going to be Windows 10.
Yeah.
And I'd like, although I do have a sighted partner, I'd like to, to not have to rely on her to set the whole thing up, if possible.
You should have to.
Well, that's what you think, but I want more specifics about that.
Yeah, so a couple of things. In the Creators update, if you wanted to install from a bare USB key and start from the ground up, Control Win Key Enter is, by the way, also the new start. It used to be Win Key Enter. We had to change it because this is also about feedback. We got a huge pile of negative feedback about people that did not want to start Narrator. Number one reason why, Windows key P is to project. And so people go, Win key P, and they would go, duplicate, enter. Boom, Narrator starts talking.
Oh.
And if you want an entertainment and prepare for some adult language, go look up Narrator and then insert some of your favorite words and you will find some really, really entertaining stuff. So they were not happy that Win key enter turned on Narrator. And so what we did is we just added another, we made it control Win key enter. And that's
control,
like
win,
control Win key enter. So when you start off the ISO, control Win key enter will fire it up. And you can just go through the entire setup. You can actually format disks. You can change your partition and go through all that UI.
And if you have an onboard sound card, like most computers nowadays, it should see it.
The comment is around, will setup see the onboard sound card?
You get the CMOS?
So, a couple of things. Hey, let me talk about the sound card stuff first, and we'll get to CMOS. The first part about the sound card is that you do need a little USB audio device. The WinPE doesn't support a lot. It does support USB audio, so depending on the hardware you have, you may need to buy a little $8, $10 USB audio device. This Lenovo, for example, it does not work. I'd have to go plug in a USB thing. But
it does
so it really
work on the desktop, like the Wi-Fi 20 Lenovo full-size laptop. It does support that.
Yeah, it's totally going to be hardware dependent on what
chipset.
Yeah, it depends on the chipset. Depends on the audio driver. But for peace of mind, $8 you can plug it in and know that about anything's going to work. Like a little Turtle Beach USB thing, something like that. So it works really well.
You could use an Olympus to do that.
If the computer doesn't have the latest Windows, like I was telling you, Tom, yeah. I got brand new computers.
Yep.
So now we want to turn them on and set them up. If it doesn't have it, if the creator's out, will it automatically go get the creator and
use the microphone? So a couple. The summary of the question is, if I get a new computer, will I go get the latest creator's update? You would have to finish the setup, and then once you're online, you will have an option to go get the update. So I don't know. Like that's a super interesting one, because what we do is we send it to manufacturing, they put it on, it ships out, and then who knows how long it sits in a store, and as they ship new hardware, they take the new bit. So it's hard to tell where in that pipeline you might pick up. But in general, definitely with the latest release, what's really nice, if you don't know, Cortana will come up and talk to you as well as you do,
yes,
as you do install. So she'll say, oh, hey, I see you're here for install. Here's your first Wi-Fi, blah, blah, blah. Do you wish to accept it? And you can just say yes. Or if you want to review it with Narrator, turn Narrator on, and you can walk through the UI as well. So there are some interesting options in there.
You'll be surprised how easy it is, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I'm going to go back to the feedback comment. Like, we've heard for a long time we would love setup to work, and so we went and made that work as best we can for today. There's a hand in the back. Did I see a hand?
Okay, hold on.
I thought I saw an arm wave, but I wasn't sure. So.
Behind you, right there.
So what about those of us who want to try out Narrator? We just received Windows 10 on our computers. It's a large organization, so we have over 3,000 computers, and the Windows users are now getting, the standard is Windows 10. What can we do? What can we do as far as being able to try out the latest version of Narrator? Because of course we are getting our computers from, the menu, or it's not loaded on automatically.
Right.
And there's all the admin stuff.
So
elevated privileges, this and that. But I'd like to try out Narrator and test it and use it instead of the Java screen reader.
So a few things. One, I really appreciate the question. Like, well, how do I get it? It's installed. So as you upgrade through Windows, it's there. And you don't need admin access to use it. It really is designed that if I'm on the lock screen, I can hit Control Win key enter, and it will start up, and you can log in. Once you log in, you can Control Win key enter and keep using it. And so it should be able to work for you.
Yeah, I understand that Narrator doesn't need any special admin rights.
Yeah.
But to get it on, okay, for example, we have a lot of Windows 7.
Oh,
we have a lot of Windows 7 machines, and now people are getting updates to Windows 10.
Yeah.
And they're doing that because of all the, they're coming around and doing that and pushing it out over the network,
mm-hmm,
because we have, the firewall and everything else. So I just need to make sure that we have the latest update with Narrator, right? So what would that be? Windows 10?
Creators Update.
Windows 10 Creators Update is the current latest.
Creators Update, okay.
Yeah, and there's a new one coming out in a couple months, and this, I'm demoing to you what's coming out in a couple of months.
Okay. Nice. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'd recommend, this is Jessica from Microsoft. Thank you.
That was the name release.
What we've heard from a lot of our customers that they're actually requesting Win10 and Office 365 as an accommodation. So if you have difficulties with your employers upgrading you according to a particular sequence, if you can explain to them that it has all of those benefits that you need from an accommodation perspective, most employers kind of, they can reframe the priority.
Yep. There's a question. Sorry, you had a question? Sir, in front, sorry.
A little bit.
Our esteemed treasurer had a question.
I was going to say that
hold on.
That would be the May.
Yeah. It's part of it's the storage.
What they want to get is the release that came out in May, right? That's the
yes.
Creators Update.
You hear the long pause in my voice because by the time it ships, we're already 2 months past from where I'm at. So just to give you a little inside information, we're already planning the release after the one that's coming up here in 2 months.
Oh, nice.
So there's this shift about 2 months from when we're done with it and it goes to the public. So yeah, I think you're right. I think it's about the May when it came out.
I take it that it's going to automatically ask you to update. Now those Windows, every time you turn it on or computer on, it automatically wants to update.
Yes, we're good like that.
No, but I never know which balloon to hit. That's another thing. I mean, you don't know which one to hit, whether it update this, update that, or update all, and it's like this balloon that comes up, but it doesn't stay up, so you can't figure out what you're supposed to do.
Oh, I see. Like, if you're not as familiar, how do you know what to
do? Yeah, that's true. One of the nice things about Windows 10 is that there's the new Action Center, so it actually collects all that stuff for you. So if it pops up and goes away, you can open the Action Center. And just go through it and find it. Yep, Windows key A.
Windows key
A. As an alpha.
But yeah. Can you not set it to automatically do it? Like, I don't want to do nothing.
Oh, you can. Yeah, great question. Can you set it to update itself? You sure can. If you go into the update thing, it says, hey, do you want to take auto updates? Do it at 4 in the morning. Just when you get it, go for it. So you absolutely can.
That's true.
All right. I don't know where we're at for time, but let me just finish out a few thoughts for you here. Oh, do I? Okay, good. I love having time.
We're here till 4 if
you want. Awesome. So I want to go back through the conversation about the insider group and our feedback channel. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about that because I think I really want, especially folks in this room, to understand how we operate. And about really 2.5 years ago or so, almost 3 now, we started a monthly conversation with about 4 to 5. Blind individuals, and we refer to them as our accessibility advisory board, and we try to sit down with them monthly and just say, here's where we're at, what do you want? And what we found over time is that this trend would come out. I'll be blunt, email was like, I tried to avoid the conversation for a couple of months, then I put it on the agenda, and then it kept coming up, and so we really drilled into, well, what is it? And it was the conversation around things like performance, and can you just tell me if there's a spell check error, and how do we just make that process more and more smooth? And so we spend time talking with them, and here's the direction, here's the things we're thinking about just to get initial feedback. We have a wider group of about 90 people that are under NDA that we have a wider conversation with about, hey, here, try out new features, give us feedback. And so we're on that constant listening thing. But also, in Narrator, we've developed a shortcut key, which is caps lock, and you press E twice. And what it'll do in the newer version is automatically bring you to the feedback hub. You can enter this app narrative was slowing down or whatever you want. And then when you post it, all your friends will say, and it'll bring up the list of known bugs already. You can say, yes, it's that bug. So you can immediately not only give us data, but upvote things. You're like, yeah, I'm seeing that same thing. And we look at that monthly. We'll go through all of those things and we'll file bugs and we'll reprioritize based on enough things coming in. And so that certainly happened for us, even in our last release, we're like, wow, we're getting a lot of hits on this thing and we'll go work on it. So really, really important, and we do take that feedback seriously, and so we're really trying to make that easier and easier. And it's important for us because over time, as we start seeing things, say, oh, you're in certain apps, and you hit caps EE, and you're like, man, this app's causing me problems. It could be a Microsoft Office thing. It could be a third party. It could be whatever it is. You can really start helping us understand what you're using and why it's important to us. and why it's important to you, excuse me, because that becomes important to us. And what's hard to do is you talk to 1,000 people, you get 1,000 different answers on what's important to them. But if we get 2,000 people to give us constant feedback, we will certainly notice the trend on really what is the next thing to go really help the majority of folks and keep moving forward. So I bring that up because, I'm going to take this off. We have kind of a list of things that keep coming up. First and foremost, performance and reliability. Like you slow down after about a half hour of use. Please make that better. That is one of our number one targets right now. And folks on insider builds, they notice some days it works well, some days not as great. They're like, please, can you make that better? And so we're spending a significant amount of time working on those two things. That really is at the like, top of our list. Pretty hard to bump that one off with anything else you've got coming along. Something as simple as announce the FN key. It doesn't say, most keyboards don't. And it's a real simple reason. There's no actual V key code standard for it. So we're actually working with the hardware folks and with the keyboard standards folks to get the FN key to show up, and we think that'll happen in the next few months. Now, when it shows up across when we get it into the product and stuff, will can be coming awesome. In the future. But we took that seriously because how do you know, especially with most of the new keyboards, they double up, and it becomes a serious problem. So, like, if you need to know the caps lock and scroll lock's on, why can't we know the FN key is on? So we've been working on that. Just general improving to the reading experience. One thing that probably won't be as obvious is that we got some really good feedback on our continuous reading. They're like, you don't tell me enough information. Like, I'd really like to know more information than you used to tell, so we're continuing to iterate narrator's reading behavior. We're gonna tell you more about the controls and the control types. So we've done part of that work in this update, and we're gonna continue to kind of iterate to make it really consistent. So whether you're tabbing through something or arrowing through in scan mode, or doing continuous reading, you'll have a very consistent experience. So I don't know, there's like a couple more dozen of these things around here, but of course we're gonna continue to work on the edge and browsing experience to make it better. We're gonna continue to unify that. We believe that there's a lot that comes from unifying what you know on the web to all apps. Now when and how we do that, it'll continue to take shape as we go forward. But we want what we've observed is that it can be 6, 8, 10 months to learn a new screen reader, learn the operating system, learn how to use Edge. Why wouldn't that same thing you learn in Edge or your web browser apply to any app? And if you're going to go learn Mail and you learn how to write in Mail and edit in Mail, guess what? You know how to learn and write and edit in Word, which means as we continue to work with the Office team, writing and editing should feel the same thing in OneNote and in PowerPoint. We're not there yet, but we're continuing to work on it.
I have an edge question if I can ask it.
I heard an insert on edge question. Go ahead. I've got a mic. I'll just repeat it. That's okay. Go ahead.
Sure. I can take the mic if you want.
Okay. I'm sure you would save a runner.
The ribbon. God almighty, I don't know how to do the ribbon.
What ribbon do you speak of? I'm just kidding.
I'll throw two questions in because we're talking about the ribbon now. But yeah. As far as edge, one thing I noticed compared to Internet Explorer, it doesn't. There's no way to copy a download link or to see how fast your file's coming in. Is that being worked on where you can do that like you can in Internet Explorer? Or is that kind of on the back burner, like nobody wants to know the progress of their download anymore?
Oh, no, it's there.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
we can go through it a little bit, but there is a section. It's kind of a little interesting to find, I'll be honest with you. But when you open favorites, there's actually what's called a pivot control, a tab control across the top. And in that, you can select downloads and you can arrow down through it. Turn on scan mode, will take you through all the text and tell you that the percentage. And
yeah, because I like to see the percentage and the speed and even the time remaining. And because IE does all that. Also, IE's got that thing where you can copy the URL of your download links in case you have to re-download something. That's handy. And then the other question I had was about the ribbon. Is there an easy way to learn something like that? I mean, especially in File Explorer. I mean, how do you know how to create a new folder and all that? I mean, where's the hotkeys list for that? Creating new folders and views, and how do you set your view the way you want? I mean,
and the cat, in the ribbon, there's something called the cat, where you can, notice you don't have to, search all over for the ribbon. I was shown that one time, and I can't figure out, how to redo the thing. I'm used to the way Word 5.
So a few things. Great questions on the ribbon. First off, it is continuing feedback that we're working on, and there are a few things around it. How do you learn the key tips? So today in Narrator, when you go to it, if you pause, we'll actually tell you all the key tips now so you can learn to remember what that combination is. Secondly, you know, we're working on, well, what does it mean to be able to do something like scan mode perhaps in the ribbon? Because frankly, left, right, up, and down don't always get you to that same place because of the way things are stacked visually, and that causes a lot of confusion. So can we allow you just to do that same type of arrow up and down to get directly through it? We're working on that.
The menu bar, that's all
that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know. Just to be honest, right now, the answer is you got a ribbon. And I don't know that that's going to go away. And so I think what it's interesting feedback is to understand, you know, how do we make that better for you?
You make it better by giving a choice. If you want to use the ribbon, use the ribbon. If you want to use the menu bar, then you can change that feature in a setting. And also, what about antivirus? Does it come with Windows 10?
So a couple things. I'll finish the train of thought on the ribbon. Yeah, it's great feedback on having choice. That's certainly, again, that's what we, you know, when you hear us talk about things like Caps EE, if you're in the ribbon, you're like, this ribbon's bothering me. I can't figure it out. Like, the more feedback we get directly from you and your friends and you upvote it, we'll go, all right, clearly. And it is something we hear a lot about. Please don't get me wrong. We hear a lot about it.
And the Alt-Q command, I find that to be very helpful.
So I think Alt-Q, yes. I think that gets you to the...
I just was going to say it's Alt-Q, and then you can type in what you're looking for. That's been on, I think, that Office.
Yeah, so in Office...
You have to add that stuff to the cat thing.
So in the newer versions of Word, there's a thing called Tell Me. And so you can go up there. In fact, actually, I use it. I have low vision, and I still don't know how to find some things in that ribbon.
I don't feel so bad then.
And so I'll just go there, and I'm like, how do I insert? I can't remember what it was today. Insert, it's like, oh, here, just let me do it for you. I'm like, yeah, do that. Do that for me. So I just selected it off a menu, off a drop-down, pressed enter, and boom, it just shows up in my document. So Alt-Q is super great. And it's that type of thing where we want to bring that technology forward. There's a question about antivirus software. Yes, it is in there, and it's turned on by default, and it gets updated behind automatically as well. Jeff, looks like you got a question, sir.
Well, I just got a comment.
Yes, sir.
On Tuesday, Microsoft is going to hold some user studies, and I would encourage all of you to go to them. And these are going to be concerning Office 365, and I would also encourage you to bring up your concerns about the ribbon in those discussions, because while the ribbon is used in Windows as well, it's really used in Office a lot.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I found that's most interesting. Because I'm low vision, I still use the keyboard a lot, and I use Narrator, and I use a magnifier altogether. And so the upcoming release has been great for me from that perspective, because we've gotten word level accuracy, because we have better font smoothing. But I find myself using the right menu key quite a bit. So that's where I actually do most of my editing, whether it's a grammar error or a spelling error or just adjusting fonts. I find myself rarely going to the ribbon anymore. And so, like, it's great feedback. One of the things that I've been observing is that sometimes people aren't aware of a faster way of doing work. And so when I looked at the constant churn in F7, and I look at the cognitive load to tie it, figure out F7, listen to what's going on, yes, now I do it, I understand I'm picking the right word and the right spelling, that's really a long way to go versus just listening through and going, oh, misspelled, let me fix it. And so what I've been working with, you know, in trying to work on myself is, like, how do we help educate different options? So if you were used to the menu and it was fast for you, are there actually other things that we can also help you with that help you do things in line and in context and make it even easier? So those are things that I spent a little bit of time working with Office about. So just things to consider, like, sometimes there's more than one option as well, to the point about choice. So I do want to solve the ribbon because, frankly, like I said, it's a challenge for lots of folks.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, yes.
So for Office 365, in regards, you know, since I'm just low vision, the shadowing and the delineation between each marker, the versions I've used has not been good. Have they changed what they call themes? Because the dark theme was not very dark and did not delineate things very appropriately. So I'm just curious, has Microsoft changed that in the new 365?
So I'm going to ask a couple of clarifying questions. So Office 365 means a lot of things to a lot of people, so I'm going to give you the definition of Office 365 from Microsoft's perspective. And I'm going to tell you what I think of when I hear the Office 365. Then we're going to talk about what you think of, because it's important to me so I can narrow in. When I used to say Office 365, I meant web properties. like Word Online. But Office 365 really is a licensing model for all of Office. So whether your endpoint is iOS or the desktop app or the modern app or the web, like all of those is what Office, if they go, hey, Office 365, yeah, it's a licensing model to get access to all of it everywhere you need to go. So when folks ask, hey, what is Office 365? I sometimes go, I'm not sure. So what version of, are you talking about like Word specifically on the desktop? Or
yeah, Word. Sure, Word, but it could be also within, you know, Outlook or even, you know, PowerPoint, stuff like that.
Sure.
When you, I know these 13, I have not used 16 yet, but within there, the delineations, you know, you have dark theme.
Yeah.
Clearly, in the earlier versions, there was a very distinct, and even people who were not visually impaired have complained about this as well, too.
Yeah.
Has that changed, or is there plans to change that?
I do know, for example, on the web, and I think even in the main apps themselves, it did a lot of work on the dark theme. For example, the icons didn't look good, so they fixed some of the icons so it looks better and reads a little better. So they've done some effort on it. So if you haven't tried the more recent version, I'd be curious to hear your feedback.
Sure.
And if it's not sufficient, and please send us feedback.
Oh, just to piggyback on that, for sometimes when you're using the Windows, you know, the lettering is black and the background is always white. Can you switch that around so that to make that the window itself is a darker color and the lettering is white, and like the reverse color is white?
Oh, so you want to invert the colors?
Yeah.
That's an excellent question. Thank you for asking.
Sometimes that bright window, that white window,
yeah,
is really tiring. And at work, I'd love to change it, but JAWS goes crazy when you do that. It doesn't really like, at least the version that we got, doesn't like it when you have a dark background with white lettering, but that white it hurts your eye. So I guess to piggyback on what the gentleman just asked, can you invert the colors?
Yeah, so a great question. So, and thank you for reminding of a feature I almost missed. One of the new features that is coming out that's in the Insider build today is the ability to actually turn on color filters globally. So for example, if you're red-green colorblind, there's a mode that'll shift some of that. And so we did a bunch of tests with folks about, hey, we put things with red-green, they're like, I can't read the number. Basically the dot test, if folks have done those. And they could then instantly see it. If you have magnifier on, actually you can do the color inversion mode. And then then Office did a bunch of work to better respect high contrast. I don't recall if that does, from what I remember, work in the main canvas, but I don't know off the top of my head. So I know they did a bunch of work to make high contrast black work better. All right, I just want to make sure that there's a time check for folks. It is 2:22, and I'm not quite sure when our session, how far it ran.
It runs 1:15 to 4 if we need it.
Oh, 1 to 4. I just know if there were other things that people had to go to. So I'm happy to keep talking. I just wanted to make sure folks understood where we're at for time.
Can you enlarge the cursor? Can you enlarge the cursor in Office? In other words, that long line as you're typing, can you make that a different color? Does narrator allow for that, or narrator is separate from the magnifier? I mean, magnifier to do that.
Magnifier doesn't do either yet, so it's a great feature request.
Shape of the cursor.
Yeah, shape of the cursor. Yeah, we've actually had that feedback. It's on our list. We wanted to get to font smoothing first. We wanted to get to word level tracking first. So that's great feedback.
It's coming.
It's sometime in the near future. Who knows when.
Oh, you guys carry on. We have to have a private conversation.
So any other thoughts, questions, comments? I really, first of all, I appreciate your time today. I thank you for inviting me out. It's always fun to talk about what we're doing. And I appreciate that you're creative, giving feedback and talking through things. I really appreciate the more casual conversation approach.
Yeah, with a small group, you can do that.
Yeah. All right, thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I turned it off.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Anyway, it just goes in this shelf.
Oh, it was sitting there when I came up. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I can.
Well, that's where they want it.
Okay.
Here.
I'll put it back there. Yeah, that's true. I'll put it in here. Thank you.
I'm almost tempted to try and turn on the computer and see what I can do myself.
Yeah, you should.
Narrate with
that'd actually be great. I'd love the feedback. Hey.
Well, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. We met at CSUN.
Yeah.
Steve and Mike, and I was wondering if you folks had any new information about support for the Orbit Reader 20 on the Natature.
Yes, I think so. Two things. We are looking at, yes, we actually had a conversation about it last couple of weeks.
Is there, John?
Is this Ponderosa B?
Is there Rob Hafferty in the room? Where's the room?
Yeah, there you go.
Rob Hafferty?
Thank you, Richard.
Hello, hello. Is there a Rob Hafferty in the room?
Looking for John McCann. Hello?
Hi, John. It's Rob Hafferty. With Tom.
Oh,
hi,
you're
Tom.
Here.
I'm here, yes.
Okay, you're going to talk about Adobe?
I am going to talk about Adobe. Actually, I'm going to talk about a PDF, and my boss, Matt, is going to talk about Adobe. But there's two of us, yeah.
Okay,
so
well,
did you guys are on a break now? Or?
Yeah, we're going to do a break. We're going to make an announcement here. We're going to continue on with Rob Hafferty from Adobe. And he'll be with us in about 10 minutes or less.
So, Tom, does he mean like if I turn on the computer, I hit that Windows?
Yeah, hold on just 1 second. Let me put this thing out for us.